try to hold her? All right, here we go. Come up here, bud. Come up here so we can see it. Bring it right up here. There you go. Can you step down here for me? Come here.
Why is she asking?
There we go. Everybody say good morning on the count of three. Ready? One, two.
I'd like to welcome everybody to Sunday school this morning. Like I said, it's good to be here. It's good to hear the kids sing. Just looking for a good day. I woke up thinking about the sunshine and thankful that another day of life and another day we could hopefully see somebody walk the aisle and accept what God has for us. We'll ask Levi to miss the Sunday school.
good to be in God's house this morning. And our lesson this morning is in the 6th chapter of the book of Acts. And starts at the 7th verse. And Jay mentioned this a little bit last week. And may I might have a week before or sometime, I don't know. Seemed like I did, but it's about Stephen. And I'm going to go up to the first of this chapter and read a couple of verses anyway. And Stephen was a preacher, but he was also a deacon. That's what I wanted. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And at that time in the church at Jerusalem, they had all things common. Everybody that wanted to, it wasn't a mandatory thing, but everybody that wanted to bring everything they had and donate it to the church. And then if they needed something, the church give it back to them. And I don't know exactly how it operated, but that's basically what it was. And some of these people they thought they were being neglected, whether they were or not. And so that's where the deacons originated in the church at Jerusalem. Then the 12, that's the apostles, called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Now, they were put in the apostles had a real important job. They was trying to get the church organized and going, and they done the job that God put them in. And I know they could probably every one say like I have a lot of times that I've failed a bunch. They probably could. I don't know that, but I know Peter failed some at times before Jesus left here, and I don't know about afterwards, but the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But they done their job. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And of honest report, that would stand to reason if somebody is going to handle the finances of the church, they need to have an honest report. And if you're going to appoint anybody, I don't care what job it is. If you're appointing anybody a job in God's church, they ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. And in other words, if I ain't never felt the Spirit in somebody, I don't know they're saved. I mean, I'll take their word for it if they say they are, but I have to have a witness down in here before I actually know it for myself. And so you pick out, if anybody you're appointing, Sunday school teachers, absolutely. They ought to have you ought to know that they got the Spirit before you'd vote to put them in the office. And so These men, they had some qualifications. They picked out seven, and I'm not going to go through all seven, but Stephen was the first one. And I'm going to drop down to where the lesson starts. The sixth verse, seventh verse. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And it mentions a great number of priests, and that's probably important to this lesson. I presume, it would be my supposition anyway, that as jealous, or I don't know exactly what the word would be, but as much as the people of the church had the church at Jerusalem that was there, the Pharisees, Sadducees, as much as they disliked the church that Jesus set up, to see those priests believe probably lit a fire under them. And so they were jealous, and they were afraid that their job was going to be gone. There were 70 people in the Sanhedrin court. They were real important, and they had an office, an important office. But they were afraid their jobs was going to be gone, and the guy that wrote the commentary in here said that them guys probably got rich from being in that job. I don't know. But they were afraid their job was going to be gone, because the church was taking off like wildfire. And then a bunch of their priests believed. And so it got them all fired up. And the word of God increased. And it's been increasing ever since. There's been times that maybe the church has been down a little bit. I bought a book one time, read it, The Trail of Blood. And everybody ought to read it if they can get a hold of it. But it tells about people, all as many people as they could come up with anyway, that had been killed, put to death one way or another for the cause of Christ. And it was way up in probably in the millions, I don't know. They didn't have them all in the book, but and the most of it, now we read in the Bible, Stephen's in this lesson today. And Mark, or James, got killed by the sword before him. And you can come right on down through history. And Apostle Paul, according to history, had his head cut off on Nero's block. And Peter, according to history, was crucified on a cross upside down. And every one of the apostles, except John, died a violent death, according to history. And it comes right on down to this time. And in Europe, in the, what they call the Dark Ages. They was millions of people put to death. So God fixed it right now for us in this country. We can come to God's house and worship, and don't have the law coming after us, or no big things going on. I mean, we kind of be careful, I guess, because of the way things are sometimes. People shooting up places, and you got to be careful. But we don't have the problem that these people back here had. That don't mean, and this is the point I want to make in this lesson probably. That don't mean that we're not going to die. Now maybe we won't die a violent death, but we don't know that. Some of those people died a violent death. But guaranteed, if time stands, every one of us is going to die. One way or another. There's a scripture in the 116th Psalm. And I thought of this one night back last week in the middle of the night sometime. I woke up trying to think about this Sunday school lesson, this scripture come to me. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, that don't mean God likes us to suffer. That ain't the point. Precious in the sight of the Lord. Did you ever have one of your kids that was way off somewhere and you hadn't seen them in a while, and they come home? That's precious. I know about that. And God will take care of us. Guaranteed. The Bible, the 34th chapter of Psalm, it said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now that deliverance ain't always like it was with Daniel and the three Hebrews boys. God delivered them out of their problem they had. And I've known people that's had cancer and different things that God's delivered them out of that. But one of these days, I'll get something that I won't get over. But I'll be delivered to the other side. And that's far better. That's why God said precious is the death of his servants. God, what God created us for to begin with was to live in heaven. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And he made man in his image. David said, I'll be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. In the resurrection, we'll be in the likeness of Christ if we've been saved by the grace of God. And then God will be finished with his getting us where he wanted us to be. And so we got something to look forward to. We all knew that anyway, but... Paul said in the 2 Timothy, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. He knew he was going to die. He said, I fought a good fight and I've kept the faith. He said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for everyone that loves his appearing. Every one of God's people that's been saved by the grace of God's got the same thing to look forward to. And we're heirs and joint heirs. That means equal heirs with Christ. So heaven's mine, and it's yours. It belongs to every one of us through the blood of Christ. We had to everyone accept what Christ done on Calvary's cross right out of our heart. We had to come to Jesus with our whole heart. You can't come keep something back with your whole heart. Anybody got a comment? And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And God's still doing great wonders and miracles among the people in His church. We see people pretty regular get saved right here. And that's one of the greatest wonders that God's ever done, if not the greatest. Jesus come into this world and died. He went to Calvary's cross that whosoever will could be saved. And God's still doing that work. And still, He's still reaching out to people. The door is still open. And people still being invited to come in. I just about say every Sunday, maybe Sunday night and Wednesday night too. Here in Lima Missionary Baptist Church, somebody gets the invitation. If God's Spirit moves in the church and there's somebody there that's lost, it'll get their attention. So that's the call of God still going out. And people can get saved if they want to. The day that I got saved, and I've told this hundreds of times, people get tired of hearing me probably, but the day I got saved, when God come to me, when they started making the invitation, I stood up and looked the preacher right in the eye, and I'm holding onto the bench, and I made up my mind already I wasn't going. And Edna Mason come to me that morning. I seen her coming. She come from over here, some over this side of the church somewhere, come all the way across the front. And I was standing right over in here, over in the building on Albert Street. She come over and stuck her hand out and said, "You need to pray," and that's all I needed. All I needed was a little nudge. And I come out of there, and God spoke peace to my soul, I said a couple of weeks ago, that was 78 years ago. My mind slipped a little. That was 68 years. But I'd have been about 4 years old if it would have been 78. But God saved me regardless of when it was or how many years ago. God saved me. And it gets better all the time. I think me and my wife was talking just a couple of days ago about dying, actually. And we both agreed if it wasn't for family and leaving our people, we'd be better off to go right on. I've thought about that a lot of times. It's just like I was trying to get across a while ago. God hath pleasure in the death of His saints. And I guarantee you, after the death part's over, it's a lot of pleasure for His saints. And I've wondered sometimes about the resurrection, and we can read all about it, but how great it's going to be for the people that's in the grave, well, it's going to be great for all of us, but the people that's in the grave, they're going to see Jesus coming just as much as the people that are standing on top of the ground. The Bible said, every eye will behold him, even them that pierced him. So we're going to see him coming, and we're going to go up to meet him. And how great is that? That's beyond words. I've never shouted in my life. I've come awful close a few times. But I just about guarantee you, when I see Jesus coming, I'll be shouting. And I believe the whole church will. He's going to come. The Bible said he's coming with a shout. And the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the church is going to shout. Every one of us. I believe that. That's just my thoughts, but I believe it. Stephen was full of faith and did great wonders and works and miracles. Jesus used him. And he wants to use every one of us in whatever place that he's put us in. He wants us to do the very best job we can and humble our hearts and follow him. Now, the deacons are set aside by the church, and most of their job is kind of a secular thing. Got to take care of the money, things like that. But I remember when I was ordained. Before I was ordained, Brother Taft Farmer and Clarence Carter asked me would I consider being a deacon. And I said, well, I'll have to pray about that. And I don't remember how long it was. I told him I felt like the Lord wanted me to do it. When I was ordained, it put an extra burden in here for that job. Now, I ain't been a great deacon. I'm still not. But it did put an extra burden in here. When the church has any kind of problem at all, which every once in a while we do, usually the pastor hears about it first if there's something out of line somewhere. So he gets us together and we'll talk about it and we'll pray about it and try to come up with some kind of solution, whatever. And that job's a lot more than it looks like on the outside. And you got to do it with a prayerful heart. And that goes for any job that God's give us in the church. I believe even the janitor ought to pray about how good it is. Help the Lord helping him do a good job. And the trustees, we got some good ones. They do a good job. But I think they ought to do that with a prayerful heart. But most of all, when we come here this morning, we ought to come here in the name of Jesus. He said, where two or three gather together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And if you want Jesus to show up, come in his name. And I'd love to see a hallelujah meeting this morning. that somebody'd remember forever. We got some people here that need to get saved, and we need to get our hearts humble so that God can move in us to get them where they need to be. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Now they thought, I don't know if they thought Stephen was wrong or not, but they was going to dispute with him anyway because they wanted things to stay the same. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So if you be ready, in the book of Peter said, be ready always to give an answer to any man that asketh thee a reason of the hope that's in you with fear and trembling. And do that in the name of the Lord. Humble your heart. They was questioning Stephen. They was arguing with him. But they couldn't resist the spirit that he was speaking in. You get it in here to argue with somebody about religion, you're doing it the wrong way. I've told this a lot of times, but I had a time way back, I hadn't been saved very long. Somebody, I don't know if I was talking to them or what, but they was using a scripture to say that people could be lost again. Well, I knew that wasn't right, but I couldn't explain that scripture. And I tried to pray about it, and I asked every preacher I know. And one fella told me, said, you pray about that and you study it, and when the Lord wants you to have it, he'll give it to you. And it went on for about 25 or 30 years probably. And it come up in a Sunday school lesson. We was over on Albert Street. And I come to church on Sunday morning, still didn't know what that verse of scripture meant. And just before I got up, God gave it to me. And it was so simple a little kid could understand it probably. I don't know why some of them preachers didn't answer it. They probably know, God probably told them not to. But God wasn't going to give me that long as I wanted it to contradict somebody. If there's any contradiction to be done, God has to do it through the Holy Spirit. And my words ain't going to... I worked with a guy one time. And he was a real fine fella. And I believe he'd been saved. But he was real bad. Somebody say a bad word, he'd say, you're going to hell for that. Whatever, somebody, something, you know. And that ain't the way to do things. Anybody got anything? Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Got some people to lie about him. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say, that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw the face as it had been the face of an angel. And you go on down, and I got it wrote down here somewhere, but Stephen said, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And I never have seen Jesus with these eyes. But I've seen him. I've seen him in the face of some of the people in the church sometimes. When the Spirit of God moves just right. And or the preacher, God bless the preacher to preach, or some of the singers to sing, whatever. The choir, I've seen it in the choir, and I've seen it a lot lately. And I love to know, and I do if my heart's right. When my heart's right, I love to know when Jesus comes in the crowd. And I can tell that, if I ain't in shape to feel the Spirit, I can look around and see it in the church. And God's been good to us. We've had real good meetings lately. And I'm praying that this one will be another one. I can remember in here getting saved. I can remember what the preacher preached on, and me coming and getting saved. I remember that here. But I like for God to remind me down here who I was and who I am now and where I come from. And that's as good as it gets on this side of eternity. And I'm looking for that this morning. In the 56th verse, he said that, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man. The Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And so Stephen, they had the lesson about the Hebrew children and Daniel being delivered. This is a lesson about Stephen being delivered. He didn't have to, his preaching was over, but the glory wasn't. We can have a hallelujah meeting, get on top, set in heavenly places. That's what the Bible says. We can sit in a heavenly place here this morning, and that's as good as it gets on this side of eternity. But I believe it's going to be a whole lot better. I believe that's just a little taste of what heaven's going to be like. And that's why God hath pleasure in the death of his saints. He wants us to be in heaven with him. He wants us to have all the good things that he's prepared for us. And we know, the Bible said we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And God put a love in my heart when I got saved beyond anything I'd ever known. And I didn't like coming to church. I just come because somebody asked me that day. So if you get it on your heart to ask somebody to come to church, pray that God get a hold of them and they get saved. It works. That's all I got.